Today on Rainbow Country, actor Philip Cairns and details on how to win a pair of tickets to see Carol Pope. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. To CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Get social, get interactive like you have been on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Want to send me an email? mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So, this is episode 40. That's right, honey. We're 40 years old. On this episode, I'm spotlighting actor Philip Cairns. He's going to be joining me live in studio. Later on in the show, details on how to win a pair of tickets to see Carol Pope on April the 7th at the Phoenix Concert Theatre here in Toronto. So, this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now, with Random Order and Black Lipstick Kiss.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Hello, this is Lynx, subversive rock musician, singer, guitarist, writer, and performer with my band Random Order. Sometimes I go solo, and I can also be found writing music and performing in theater with some acting on the side. I've always known from when I was a small child that I was transgender, and there was no doubt in my mind that I was somehow accidentally placed in the wrong body. I also identify as queer, and enjoy the many aspects of being involved in the LGBTQ community. You can find me online at randomorder.ca, YouTube/randomorder, Facebook at randomorder, and Twitter at randomorderband.
Picture this, black lipstick kiss. the pleasure of the pain I'm in. I ride on your body, all over your soul. Sometimes you pretend not to even know.
Welcome back. You're listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I am your host, Mark Tara. So, he is an actor, a singer, a visual artist, a poet. He is Philip Cairns. Philip, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Philip, you do a lot of things. How are you doing? How are you holding up being an actor, singer, painter, poet? How's it been? How has 2016 been for you?
2016 was one of the best years of my life career-wise.
Really?
It was fabulous. I did, I don't want to sound like an egotist. I did a film.
Go on, girl. That's what we're here to do, pump you up and then deflate you at the end.
That's right. Go home to my little hovel and eat gruel. I did a film with Alexander Payne, who directed Sideways, which was amazing. I shaved my head and I was naked in the movie. So it's a horror movie, obviously.
Wow.
And then I did a fringe show called To Jane with Love, which we took off Broadway to New York City. And then I did Aunt Dan and Lemon at Theatre Pass Marais, which I had I played three roles in that. It was an amazing experience with a tremendous cast.
Wow.
I played a gangster, a horrible father, and a kind of nerdy guy who tries to pick up this woman in London, England. I did a ton of TV shows. I had an art exhibition, a three-person show. So it was amazing. It was a great year.
So that happened in 2016, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But I understand, Philip Cairns, that you started auditioning at the age of 11?
I did. I would have started younger if I'd had a stage mother.
Wait, you would have started younger than 11?
Yes, because when I was a little boy, mm-hmm. I used to watch the Mickey Mouse Club, Annette Funicello, and I wanted to be Annette Funicello, and I was like 4 years old.
Okay.
And I would sit in front of the TV in sort of semi-drag. I would have socks for breasts under my t-shirt, and I would have a long underwear over my head, wrapped around like a page boy, and I would watch the Mickey Mouse Club, and I would think, I want to be on that show. I want to be on television. You know, I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Wow. What rolled up socks as brass?
I don't know where I got that from, but it worked, and it drove my mother crazy. I think she wanted... There's this fabulous picture of me when I was 3. Mm. I'm sitting on a chair with my mother's high heels on, and she is looking at the camera, looking like, how dare you capture this for posterity, you know? And I was 3 years old.
Wow.
You know? So, I started going, and so I begged my parents. I think I read about the Judy Welsh Modeling Agency in the Toronto Star or Telegram or something like that. And I coerced my father or mother into calling them up and getting me an interview.
How old were you, like 3?
No, I was 11.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I between 5 and 11, I was just, you know, being a screwed up, gender confused little boy, you know? And then at one of the auditions that Judy Welsh sent me to, I met a really nice woman who was there with her daughter, and she told me about a talent agent who got people films and TV work. Mm-hmm. And so that was Deanie Petty's mother, who used to be on City TV.
Right.
Deanie Petty, not her mother. Her mother was, I can't remember her name.
Petty.
Molly Petty. And so she took me on as an actor when I was 11, and I went on a bunch of auditions. The only thing was I didn't land anything.
Okay.
I didn't land anything, and so I just sort of came back down to earth, and nothing was happening. So then, I don't mean to make this sound dramatic. So when I was 13, I attempted suicide because I was so screwed up. And that sort of was the catalyst to make my parents give me acting lessons.
Okay.
Because they, you know, I guess they didn't want their poor little boy to die, right?
Right.
So I went and studied with Jack Medhurst for 2 years. Mm-hmm. He was a gay actor, and he had a professional actor, and he had this 50-seat studio at Church in Carleton. The building is still there. And I did kids' shows. I did improv, and I learned about makeup and, you know, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
And then I studied theater arts in high school because after the first 2 years, I couldn't go back. My parents couldn't afford it with Jack Medhurst. So I just did theater arts in high school and did shows. And then when I was about in grade 12, I did How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. I played Bud Frump in the high school play, and it was really successful. And I thought, oh my God, I think I might have talent. People tell me I have talent. Maybe I can be a professional actor.
So that didn't happen until grade 12?
Yeah.
Okay. That you got the accolation from your peers, basically.
Yes, yes. And then the next year I did The Mousetrap as the big, you know, the big show of the year in high school. Okay. And that was successful too. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to be a professional actor. I'm going to be a star and all this kind of stuff. And I wanted to go to New York and study at HB Studios, but I couldn't afford it. Boo hoo hoo hoo. So I took classes here. I took them with Eli Rill and Ken Gass and, you know, a whole bunch of people. And then I started... got an agent and started going to auditions, started doing theater and background work. And
do you remember, besides outside of high school, after high school, do you remember your first audition that you actually got?
My first outside of, yes, it was in 1975. I wasn't even born yet, but it was in 1975. it was Arden of Feversham. It was a medieval play, and it was at U of T. It was the Poculi Ludique Societas. They do medieval plays.
Okay.
Daniel MacIver's worked for them. He started out there, so, you know, I was in good company.
So you've always known that you wanted to get into the arts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, for me, I've always known that, you know, music, I wanted to get into music and become a, you know, an artist, that sort of thing, right? Uh-huh. At a really young age, and that happened for you as well. That's really interesting.
Well, you see, I didn't just want to act. I always wanted to act and paint and write. I wanted to do all three,
right.
Which it can be a little hard to juggle all those balls,
yeah.
You know, because just being an actor, you have to, like, I go online every 20 minutes to see if there's auditions, to see if there's, you know, background work or something for the next day,
yeah.
You know, so it's hard to, and then I have to paint and then I have to market it myself,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You can feel a little schizophrenic.
Well, my dream is to have somebody do all the marketing, and I can just create the work.
You can just be the artist.
Yeah, I can be the artist, and somebody else can like do my income tax and send out my stories.
They can be your agent.
Yeah, my agent / manager. But unfortunately, I've never met that person. You know,
me neither. So if you're out there, contact us.
Well, I've met them, periodically, but they never stick around.
Yeah, I hear you. So, Philip, let's take a musical break. Let's listen to another artist, Arlen Godwin, with Boy 17. We'll be right back.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Hi, people. My name is Arlen Godwin, and I am coming to you from Washington, D.C., and I've been writing music and recording forever. If you were in the city in 2004, that was the first year I performed at Gay Pride at the Capitol Pride Festival in front of about 250,000 people, and scary, but fun. If you want to get in touch with me or hear more music, I'm on the web at www.arlengodwin.com. That's ArlenGodwin.com.
Bye.
listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country. And I'm your host, Mark Tara.
Hi.
And joining me live in studio is actor Philip Cairns. Welcome back, Philip.
Hi. I'm here in the flesh.
Yes. Now, Philip, you've done film. You were part of a film called Life that starred Robert Pattinson from Twilight fame. Uh-huh. You've done television. You were part of William Shatner's Weird or What? Okay. Do you have a preference between doing film or TV?
Film is a little slower, so there's less pressure.
It's like hurry up and wait.
Well, usually with TV, they shoot more scenes in a day than with film.
Right.
I don't know why, because nowadays they don't use film. They use, you know, it's all digital, right? So there's not, but they still have to light the set. You know, I don't care as long as, although I don't think.
As long as you get a paycheck.
Exactly. But I think it'd be really hard to be in a series because you wouldn't have a life. Mm-hmm. You'd be shooting mm-hmm. and then you'd be learning lines and then right. you'd be sleeping and then you'd be shooting and then you'd be learning. Because they're long days, like 16 hours usually.
Do you know, especially with soap operas, how do they learn those lines so quickly? Do you have any insight into that?
I've never been on a soap. I mean, I saw Tootsie, and they had a teleprompter.
Really?
But you know, I was on Royal Canadian Air Force, that TV show. I was mm-hmm. on it three times, and it's live, and they have a teleprompter.
Okay.
Because I guess if you're on live TV and you forget your lines, what
yes.
are you going to do, right?
Well, SNL has that too.
But I understand. Well, I won't tell that. I understand. Dustin Hoffman did a film here, Mr. McGorium's Wonder Emporium, which I had a tiny part in, mm-hmm. and he had a bunch of monologues, and I understand that they tried to shoot them, and he couldn't remember his lines,
really?
And so they didn't use most of his monologues. I'm thinking, why didn't they just use cue cards or a teleprompter, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, to me, it's the part, you know,
yeah,
a great part. But I mean, Pete Duell, you know, he was an American actor. He was in a lot of TV series, and he ended up shooting himself. He said, I can't stand doing another series. You know what he should have done? He should have just said, no, I don't want to do it.
Right.
You know? I guess he had more issues than that, but...
So you've been on a lot of sets.
Yes.
So do you have any interesting stories? You just shared one with, what was it, Dustin Hoffman?
Oh.
Do you have a story you can share, maybe an on-set story, Inquiring Minds Want to Know, Philip Cairns?
Yes.
Care to dish?
Yes. Last year when I did... Downsizing with directed by Alexander Payne and written by him as well, who was an amazing director. I mean, he sees everything on the set. So I'm lying on this gurney, totally naked, with my head shaved, and he comes up and whispers in my ear. He gave me some direction. Mm-hmm. And I started to shake because I'm thinking, you know, I'm naked on a set, mm-hmm. and there's all these, because they gave us little face cloths to put on our, you know, our junk
right.
between, you know, between shots. But he's, you know, first it's Alexander Payne, a two-time Academy Award-winning director. I'm on a set with him. He's giving me direction. He's whispering in my ear, and I'm naked. Mm-hmm. And he wanted me to get up and move somewhere else, which means I had to get up and, you know, flash my butt
okay.
on the set. And it was just surreal. Mm-hmm. Plus, Matt Damon was in the scene. But Matt Damon, who was making, you know, probably, you know, $6,000 trillion, I was getting scale, He had a bald cap on, and he was wearing a flesh colored bikini, so he wasn't naked, but I was. Mm-hmm. What is the point of my story? The point of my story is that I was freaked out. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
But it was great. I kept wishing, oh, can't Alexander Payne take me away to his house in Malibu, and
really?
You know, and I can live in comfort, you know, for the rest of my days and act in his movies, you know.
See, I'd be saying that about. About the actor that you just mentioned.
Robert Pattinson?
No, that was on there with the ball cap.
Oh, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. I'd be saying that about Matt Damon. I'd be like, hey, Matt Damon. I think he's handsome.
We were lying on the gurney.
I can't remember his name.
We were lying on the gurney at one point, and I was being pulled out by somebody, mm-hmm. you know, an actor. And I looked over, and I looked over at him, and he looked over at me. Mm-hmm. And just for like, you know, 2 seconds, we had this connection. I thought, I'm naked. I'm looking at Matt Damon. He's looking at me. And I thought, how?
And I'm naked.
That's right.
Doesn't it get any more interesting than this?
Yeah. I just wish I had his paycheck, you know?
Oh, my God.
And his career.
Yeah, he's had a fabulous career, that Matt Damon. Yeah. Him and Ben Affleck, Mr. Batman.
But you mentioned Life. That's another thing. I was it was about James Dean. Dane DeHaan played James Dean.
Okay.
And the scene I was in was on I was the high school principal, and I was rehearsing on the stage of the high school auditorium, and I looked off, and Robert Pattinson was watching me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Robert Pattinson is watching me play a scene? I can't believe it, you know? It's surreal. You know, these are things you expect to have in your dreams, right?
Right.
And
so how did that make you feel? You said it was surreal, but did it make you nervous at the time? Or?
No, I just wanted to do it. Mm. I felt like a horse at the starting gate who just was, you know,
raring to like burst forth.
Yeah. And then 6 months later, they called me back to dub my lines.
Okay.
In a sound booth, and they put the headphones on my head, and they said, the director is in Berlin and he's talking to you. So he's talking to me on the headset, and he's in Berlin, and I'm in, you know, Strawn and King in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I thought, how weird, how wonderful.
Technology.
You know? Yeah. And I'm being paid.
Yeah. Well, Philip, let's take another musical break. Let's listen to Jazzy J and This Letter. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
What up, what up, what up? It's your girl Jazzy J, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a rapper, and I would describe my musical style as versatile. I discovered that I was lesbian years and years ago. You can find me on Twitter at Jazzy J Music. Holla!
Y'all ain't ready.
I want to take a minute and shout out everybody who's supporting this community. LGBT, stand up. I'm writing this letter, hoping things will get better. I'm happy now, even if it's with the same gender. What's it truly matter? What's it truly matter? I'm writing this letter, hoping things will get better. I'm happy now, even if it's with the same gender. What's it truly matter? What's it truly matter? I knew when I was younger there was something a bit different. My cousin, I wanted to be a spin in the jungle. Never played around with dress up, never put on makeup. Then I hit the teen years. Tried to hide my feelings, but I knew it wasn't me. I was scared out of my mind to tell my family. Something that takes courage and a lot of bravery. I built it up and told them, then they said, what did you expect? I love you no less. I'm speaking for the ones your families leave them homeless. Disowned it. Speaking for the ones your families leave them homeless. Disowned it. It's not how it's supposed to be. I'm writing this letter, hoping things will get better. I'm happy now, even if it's with the same gender. What's it truly matter? What's it truly matter? I'm writing this letter, hoping things will get better. I'm happy now, even if it's with the same gender. What's it truly matter? What's it truly matter? Some people swore it was a phase, but can't you tell by the smile on my face, the sparkle in my eyes? This is me, this is my life. Can't you tell by the smile on my face, the sparkle in my eyes? This is me, this is my life. See, I'll take a stand and say it isn't wrong. That's the whole meaning behind the song. Everybody has their views, but don't let nobody take yours away from you. Girl, you wanna be with a girl, boy, you wanna be with a man. Just take a stand, girl. You wanna be with a lady, boy, you wanna be with a man. Just take a stand. There's nothing to be ashamed of as long as you feel in love. There's nothing to be ashamed of as long as you feel in love. I felt like no one understand until I took a stand. Stand your ground, stay strong, stay beautiful. I'm writing this letter, hoping things will get better. I'm happy now, even if it's with the same gender. What's it truly matter? What's it truly matter? I'm writing this letter, hoping things will get better. I'm happy now, even if it's with the same gender. What's it truly matter?
What's it truly matter?
Hi, this is Carol Pope. Beginning April 7th, I'll be hosting a series of musical events showcasing some brilliant LGBT artists like Ray Spoon, DJ Betty Ford, and me. Experience Music for Lesbians, the series, at the Phoenix Concert Theater. Tickets start at $12. For more information, go to ticketweb.ca. See you there.
When did it all go wrong? When did it so godforsaken?
And welcome back. You're listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your gay host, Mark Tara. Hi. And joining me in studio, actor Philip Cairns. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So as you just heard, Philip, as you just heard, I have some Carol Pope tickets to give away. Unfortunately, I'll be giving them away live next Tuesday. But fortunately, anyone can enter because I'll be doing a draw live on air. So,
do I have to listen to win the ticket?
Yes, bitch. Damn, girl.
Good.
So here are the details. This is for a show that's on April the 7th at 8 p.m. at the Phoenix Concert Theater here in Toronto. They're a pair of tickets. I'll be doing the draw live next Tuesday at, 12:30, whatever time. So get in touch. Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @MarkTaraMusic. I'll put your name and your pertinent information into the draw. And next week, I'll be joined live with a special guest for the whole episode. DJ Snowdusk will be with me for the whole episode, and he's going to help me draw that winner. You never know, Philip, it could be you.
Oh, Carol Pope is an amazing performer.
She's funny.
Oh, I've been a fan of her since the 70s. I wasn't even born yet, but I was.
I hear you, girl. So, Philip, you do a lot of theater.
Yes.
You've done Toronto Fringe, you've done Hamilton Fringe. Uh-huh. What is it about Fringe festivals that draws you to that particular project?
Usually it's the scripts, because there's some amazing scripts and people really want to do it because sometimes there's no money. Okay. So there's enthusiasm. It's kind of like it's like swimming out to sea without water wings, and you think maybe you're going to drown, but maybe, you'll transcend and you'll levitate,
Right.
But usually it's a script. I've done the Fringe, the Toronto Fringe 6 or 7 times. I've done the Hamilton Fringe 2 or 3 times, and they were amazing experiences because the scripts were great. I did one called The Kneeling Goddess. I was this kind of Alfred Hitchcock like sinister character who lured this woman to his house to audition her and behaved really creepy. Mm-hmm. And I had these monologues that went on and on and on and on, which was terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's like, am I going to forget my lines? Am I going to forget my lines? I mean, I never did, but it was a great part, and we worked on editing it in the rehearsal process. I did another one called Les Mères Rouges, which was set in Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. mostly in a camp, and I played about 6 different characters, and it was really short scenes, changing locale and changing characters.
Sure.
It was an amazing script. Amazing.
So you've done a lot of theater.
Yes.
You also do painting.
Yes.
How would you describe your painting? Is it abstract? Is it like real life type things? How would you describe it?
Well, it's changed over the years, because I've been painting, since I was a kid. Lately, I usually work on paper.
Okay.
It's either colored pencil or acrylic, maybe 22 by 30 usually. I like really expensive paper. I do abstracts, I do landscapes, very expressionistic. I used to do all these kind of weird colored pencil drawings of these androgynes with 6 breasts and 4 penises, and they'd be, copulating with each other and stuff.
Wow.
And I had a show called Androgynes Flourish After Dark, but what I was trying to say was that people are male and female, and people thought they were she-males and all this kind of stuff, but people could not deal with that show.
Right.
I think I was kind of traumatized by the reaction, but I thought I did some really good work, and I'm really proud of that work, and a lot of it, unfortunately, I gave away.
Sounds like H.R. Giger. His stuff was very sexual, like the guy that did Aliens, that created the alien.
Yeah.
His Necronomicon, I believe. Like, the head looks like the back of the head looks like a penis and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there was one I did that was a person had all these penises sticking out of his head, right. You know, and
but basically what you were saying was everyone's made up of male and female
yes,
energy.
Yes, that's all I was saying, and people didn't get it, you know. They just didn't get it. And I don't do that kind of work really much anymore because of people's reaction. So I guess, you know, I kind of have censored myself to a certain degree, although maybe, you know.
You should do it again.
Well, maybe, you know, if you give me some weed or something and a drawing board, I might, you know.
So you also do poetry.
Yes.
How would you describe your poetry? Well, what do you talk about? What do you
say? I talk about jewels. I talk about fantasies. I talk about celebrities. I talk about sex. I talk about gay sexuality. Yeah. I talk about emotions. I talk about the past. It's very free form, stream of consciousness. I hate stuff that rhymes. And usually they're very long. They're usually about 4 or 5 minutes, which is a bit of a problem when I do open mics because they usually give you a 3-minute time limit. So I have to either talk really fast or just read an excerpt. And if you read an excerpt, they don't really get the whole picture. You know what I mean?
So will you honor us by giving us an excerpt? Short little amuse-bouche?
Twist my arm. Okay, this is called Short Poems. I can't shake your words. They've been eating away inside of me like molten lava. I need to wash away these blues. I may only write about the color yellow for the rest of my life. What does it really matter one way or the other? I'm hearing the sound of the ocean in Hawaii, warm and soothing, though I'm surrounded by dirty snow and bitter cold. Do you blame me? You are short and sweet and very sexy, but you need to take care of yourself a bit more. You enter my life like a split-second ghost. It's a necessary thing. Crystals and lovely trinkets hang from my kitchen window, all the colors of the rainbow, or so it seems. They put a tiny smile on my sour face. It makes me irritable to walk outside when it rains, all cold and sopping wet. Best to hear it on a CD bought at a record store. Turn it up to a reasonable volume and relax.
Nice.
Thank you.
Now, does that have a title or it's...
Well, it's called Short Poems. Okay. Like each of those stanzas is a separate poem.
Okay.
So it's a long poem consisting of short poems.
Nice.
But it's a nice poem, you know. It's not, you know, I wrote one poem, it was initially called Age 13 Suicide Attempt, but when you stand up and read that title, everybody in the audience is going to go, oh my God, you know. So I changed the title to Age 13 so that you're not bad. So I think it's a good poem, you know, I'm prejudiced, but people usually react better, with the title just Age 13, because they go, oh, I remember being age 13, you know, I remember, you know, how screwed up I was or whatever, you know.
Well, speaking of Age 13... let's listen to another song by Ian Mannix, and this one is called Slow Song.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.
Hello, my name is Ian Mannix, and I'm a fucking robot. I discovered I was gay when I knew how to walk. I've always liked boys. Follow me on social media, girl. Anywhere, girl. Just umbrella term that shit. Google, Ian Mannix, Twitter, Vine, Spotify, iTunes, Shazam, Snapchat. That's where the list ends, apparently. Ciao.
I'm looking good and feeling gorgeous. Milla the boss is perfect for us. Sit down, baby, in your lap, that's nice. Going over bumps in the road, that's nice. Got what you pay, sure is a nice day. YWCA on Adelaide. I'm hyper now, gazing out. Mint green sheen on the glass so pow. Mint green sheen on the glass so pow. And take a back step.
you want. You say you like the ladies, but you don't. I never would've known, bitch. Never would've known. In private, in silence, gets boring. I'm drowning, smoking weed and pantyhose. Don't give up your pennies, so, but I don't wanna be alone. Talking boys out on my phone. Bring your lotion, let's get going to the totem pole at Beacon, yo. To the totem pole at Beacon, though. What's your name again?
Listening to CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country, and I'm your host, Mark Tara. And again, joining me in studio, actor Philip Cairns. Hey.
Hey.
So, Philip, you're a gay man.
Well, that's debatable.
Is it?
Oh, okay. Let me tell you the story.
Okay.
Okay, when I knew I was attracted to men probably from about the age of 10.
Okay.
And then when I was 13, this is an important age, I saw Bonnie and Clyde with Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was supposed to want to play Clyde and make love to Bonnie, you know, when you're thinking, who do you want to play? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to play Bonnie, and I was really hot for Warren Beatty. And that was, like, so confusing. I thought, oh, my God, am I a homosexual, you know? Because in 1967, that was, like, a fate worse than death, you know? It was before the gay pride era, yeah. Right? I mean, there was the Mattachine Society and all that in the States, but... So then I sent away for Christine Jorgensen's autobiography. She was one of the first trans women who had successful surgery in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And all through high – and I read her book and I thought, oh, that's me. I'm a trans woman. So all through high school, I thought I was a trans woman.
Really?
And then, yes, yes. I wanted to, you know, have the surgery and the whole nine yards. And then I met trans women. I got involved with the trans scene, and it was a challenging scene back then. You know, people had really miserable lives. And then I met all these gay men who were radical, they were hippies, they were into free love, they were left-wing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, I'm a gay man. And I started, you know, having sex with men and going to, you know, gay pride meetings and all this kind of stuff. And I lived the gay life. But the last couple of years, I'm not, but I've never really thought of myself as a man.
Mm.
I fought that for so long. Mm-hmm. But then the last couple of years, I don't feel like a man. But I don't feel like a woman either. You know, so what does that make me? It makes me Philip Cairns Earthling, right? I mean, I have sex with men, but am I a gay man? I don't know. I don't think it matters. I don't think gender matters. For me, it doesn't matter what's between my legs,
right.
You know? So am I a gay man? I don't know. I have sex with men. Does that make me a gay man? But I don't really feel like a man, you know? So now that I'm in the third act of my life, now I'm this, you know, decrepit old creature, you know, I'm thinking, well, my gender doesn't matter. You know, my I'm primarily interested in men, you know.
Do you see yourself as more androgynous?
Yes, I guess. I mean, I'm, you know.
Because you're attracted to men, but you have a softer look.
Yeah, I'm very femmy. I'm very, which, you know, has been a detriment to my acting career, you know, because I play a lot of gay men and drag queens,
right?
I guess I'm, you know, I can't say I'm too spirit because I'm not an indigenous person, but that's how I guess I see myself. I'm male and female.
Yeah.
You know? I guess you could relate to that, right? But when I was a teenager, you know, since I didn't fit the male stereotype and all the things I like were female, I thought, oh, well, I must be a female. Yeah. But I don't think that anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
I mean, I wear a lot of jewelry, you know, which most men don't.
Yeah.
And I bought a big brooch recently. You know, I'm walking down the street proud of my big brooch. And people are probably thinking, you know, who's that faggot?
Mm.
You know, am I a faggot? Am I a gay man? I don't know. I don't think it matters, you know? I don't know. Does that answer your question?
I think really it's up to how you choose to see yourself. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think gender is an important issue at all, or it shouldn't be important.
Right.
You know, I'm an Aquarius. I'm an idealist. Okay. I think the only reason we have gender is that so two people can copulate and continue the race.
Right. Well, Philip, let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi guys, this is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
I'm Andrea Smits. I'm a multimedia artist and electronic musician. I've been creating for as long as I can remember, and it's a fundamental part of who I am. When I'm not in the studio, I'm usually out driving around the countryside, exploring, recording sounds, and taking photographs. I knew I was a lesbian when I was very young and was out and proud at the age of 17. You can find these tunes and more online at thefrequencyproject.bandcamp.com.
Is that a beautiful track?
Yes, who is it?
Andrea Smits.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Fella.
I was off in La La Land.
The Frequency Project. So you were saying, you don't think gender is necessarily that important.
I think it shouldn't be important, you know? I think, as I said, I'm an idealist. I want everybody to be happy, you know? I want things to be fair, you know, chicken in every pot, or a tofu chicken in every pot, you know.
Or a cock in every pot. You keep talking. I have to get the door, literally. Keep talking.
Am I on air?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, talk, bitch.
Okay. Let me see. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing upcoming, in case anybody's interested. David Bateman and I are doing a two-person art show at Arcadia Gallery in May, which is down by the waterfront at the foot of Bathurst Street.
Mm-hmm.
David's trying to coerce me into showing some photographs because I've started doing photography on my phone and on my digital camera.
Nice.
But, we'll see. They're probably easier to sell.
Do you have a website?
I do. philipcairns.com, which is philipcairns.com.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's better to look at it on a laptop than on a phone.
Hmm.
So, and then in November, I'm doing Challenging the Sea at the Theater Center, which is a play written and directed by Helen Posno. It's kind of it's a bizarre script. It's kind of like staged poetry. It's very abstract.
Mm.
She's a great writer.
Yeah.
She does amazing theater. Yeah, but it's not conventional stuff.
You know? I hear you.
I've worked with her a lot.
Well, Philip, I have to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's been It's been a pleasure. So quickly read out what you have coming up again.
Okay, an art show in May with David Bateman at Arcadia Gallery, and then in November, Challenging the Sea at the Theater Center, written and directed by Helen Posno.
Nice. Thanks for being on the show, Philip.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It's been wonderful.
This is CIUT's gay radio show, Rainbow Country. And I'm your gay host, Mark Tara. I have to thank my guest, Philip Cairns, actor, painter, a man of many traits. But most of all, I have to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Next week, joining me live in studio will be DJ Snowdusk. He'll be here and I'll be drawing tickets for to see Carol Pope. So make sure you get in touch with me, mark@marktara.com, or hit me up on social media at marktaramusic. And like I said, thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.